Hi everyone. Welcome back to What I'm Cooking for Dinner. I know it's been a while. Who knew I would give up on a project after only a few weeks? Well, I kind of did. This is why I can never be a full-time podcaster or content creator. It's just really hard to stick with this type of thing. It's back to school, back to podcasting, and it's the end of summer. So we are transitioning from all the great summer produce into the fall produce and fall flavors. In this week's episode, I'll be talking about a few different recipes. These are the skillet caprese prosciutto chicken, creamy peach pie bars, golden soup, ham and cheese sliders, corn fritters, salmon quiche, and ground beef nachos. Let's start with the skillet caprese prosciutto chicken. This is a recipe from the blog Half Baked Harvest. Their original recipe, which I'll post in the show notes along with all the other ones I mentioned in this episode, called for 4 tablespoons of olive oil, 4 ounces of prosciutto, 6 boneless chicken cutlets or thighs, 2 tablespoons lemon pepper seasoning, 1 tablespoon of fresh sage, 1/2 cup of extra virgin olive oil, 2 tablespoons champagne or apple cider vinegar, 2 teaspoons of honey, 1 shallot, 4 to 6 garlic cloves, 1 cup of fresh basil, 2 tablespoons of fresh thyme, chili flakes, 3 cups of cherry tomatoes, 2 tablespoons balsamic vinegar, and 8 ounces of mozzarella balls. Essentially what you do is crisp the prosciutto, cook the chicken with the lemon pepper, make a dressing out of the tomatoes, olive oil, herbs, and balsamic vinegar, and then put it all together in the skillet with some fresh basil and mozzarella. The first substitution I made was I used chicken breasts and not thighs. I think this would be great with thighs, but we prefer chicken breasts in a quick cooking dish like this. I didn't use sage at all, and I just used more basil, and it was fine. I didn't have a shallot, so I used a small yellow onion instead. I didn't have 3 cups of cherry tomatoes, but I did have a couple of large heirloom tomatoes along with some cherry tomatoes. So I chopped up the large heirloom tomatoes into small pieces that were about the same size as those cherry tomatoes that I did have. Lastly, I didn't have fresh mozzarella balls, but I did have some leftover mozzarella from a pizza I made a while back that needed to be used. So I cubed that in place of the mozzarella balls. Overall, this was an excellent dish, and I really liked the balance of the slightly acidic and sweet tomatoes with the savory lemon pepper, and the fresh, herbaceous, light anise flavor of the basil and the salty prosciutto. It had a lot of really good textures going on between the cooked tomatoes, and then there were some fresh tomatoes and crispy prosciutto, slightly melty cheese, and I think it was a real winner and everyone really enjoyed it. Next up, we have the creamy peach pie bars from the New York Times. This is a cheesecake in bar form with a graham cracker crust. I had some massive peaches. We're talking like baby head-sized peaches to use up. So I thought these would be a great way to use them. It's getting cooler, so the prospect of baking is a lot less daunting than in the height of summer heat. The crust calls for 6 tablespoons of melted butter, 1 1/2 cups of graham cracker crumbs, 1/3 cup of pecans, and a pinch of salt. The filling has 2 8-ounce packages of cream cheese, room temperature, 180 grams of room temperature heavy cream, 100 grams of granulated sugar, 3 large eggs, again room temperature, 1 teaspoon of lemon zest, teaspoon of vanilla extract, 20 ounces of sliced peaches, and 2 teaspoons of lemon juice. Essentially, you're going to make the crust, bake that, make the filling, and lightly cook the peaches on the stovetop. Add the filling to the crust, and then top with the peaches, then bake for about 50 minutes. Refrigerate for at least 2 hours. I made a slight couple of changes to this recipe. I didn't have any pecans, so I used some hazelnuts that needed to be used. They've been in my freezer for a while, and they were a great substitution. The other thing I did was I added a handful of basil, because I have so much basil right now. And this was not a great addition. The basil flavor didn't come through at all, and it looked really unappetizing, like cooked spinach in your cheesecake. The other thing is I would highly recommend peeling your peaches for the filling. The skin of the peach is like slightly bitter and fuzzy, so it detracts from both the flavor and the texture. I really liked the flavor and texture of the cheesecake filling itself, but I'm not a huge fan of cooked peaches, so I would be happier making this with a different fruit like blueberries or something like that. I don't think I'll be making these again anytime soon in the future, but that's more because I don't particularly like cheesecake that much. We're now getting into soup weather, and I'm always looking for recipes that don't use as much meat and add more vegetables and fiber to our lives. So this golden soup recipe from Pinch of Yum is a beautiful looking fall soup that is also vegan and is really simple. It's olive oil, half an onion, 2 cloves of garlic, 5 cups of cauliflower, a cup of cashews, a tablespoon of turmeric, 5 cups of water, and a squeeze of lemon juice. Saute all the ingredients except the water and lemon juice for about 10 minutes, then add water and simmer until the cauliflower is softened. I think I cooked mine for about 15 minutes. Blend and then add more water as needed. The original recipe recommends 7 to 8 cups of water. I was actually fine with 5 cups. You could also do this with vegetable broth. That might add a little bit more flavor. Then add the lemon juice. And this was a nice soup. I served it with canned Greek style chickpeas from Trader Joe's. I can't recommend these enough. They're delicious. And I also added some creme fraiche, I know, not vegan, and Calabrian fermented chilies. We ate this with some seeded sourdough from Rise Up Bakery. And I don't have the urge to make this really again. We didn't dislike it, but none of us were like super enthusiastic about it. And there are so many great soup recipes out there. Next, we have a family favorite that is in regular rotation for us, which is the ham and cheese sliders on Hawaiian rolls from Avery Cooks. We make these at least twice a month with various cheeses, and sometimes we switch up the meat too. As originally written, it's 1 package of 12-count Hawaiian rolls, 3/4 pound of sliced ham, 3/4 pound of sliced Swiss cheese, 1 stick of butter, 1 tablespoon of Dijon mustard, 1 tablespoon of poppy seeds, 2 teaspoons of dried minced onion, 2 teaspoons of Worcestershire sauce, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, and 1/4 teaspoon of black pepper. Slice the rolls in half horizontally, add the cheese slices, then add the ham, and then add more cheese on top, and then top with the other half of the rolls. Baste with the melted butter, mustard, Worcestershire, and spices, and bake in the oven for 20 to 30 minutes with the foil on, and then take it foil off, and then bake for another 5 minutes. It's a super simple weeknight dinner that we eat with just like a salad and some cut up fruit. So a few adjustments that I made to this recipe. First, I use 1/2 pound of ham because that's the size of the package at the store and it's plenty of meat. You really don't need more. I never use Swiss cheese. It's just not, I don't particularly like it that much. And I never use that much cheese. I never use 3/4 pound. I use about 8 slices of cheese from the package. And this latest time I used Vardy, but we normally use medium or sharp cheddar. I personally feel that an entire stick of butter is unnecessary and would leave you with a greasy mess. I use 1/2 stick, if that, normally. It's whatever little bit is left over in my box from a previous recipe. And also, I substitute the poppy seeds, minced onion, salt, and pepper for everything but the bagel seasoning from Trader Joe's, which has a lot of those things already in it. And that way I don't have to, you know, measure out all those things separately. This works out really well and is a huge hit with everyone. I just really, really like it. And it also makes great leftovers. The next morning you can eat them cold. Okay, corn fritters. I always want to like these more than I do. I like Smitten Kitchen. It's probably my favorite food blog, but these corn fritters do not work for me. They're just not crispy enough. I'm not sure what I'm doing wrong or if it's the recipe, but they are not for me. As originally written, it's 6 ears of corn, 4 scallions, 1/2 cup of chopped herbs, 1 cup of shredded cheddar cheese, 3/4 teaspoon of salt, 4 large eggs, 1 cup of all-purpose flour, and neutral oil for frying. I halved the recipe when I made it because I didn't have 6 ears of corn. I had 3 ears of corn. So mix everything together, heat your oil, add the butter to the oil, and fry. When I posted this recipe on a local food group, I did get some pointers that I might try the next time I make fritters. And they recommended adding some cornstarch to the batter and letting the batter sit for about a half an hour before frying. So if you have any tips about making fritters, I would love to hear them because they are a great way to use up those vegetables that are kind of like languishing in your refrigerator. All right, so the next two recipes are from Recipe 10 Eats, which is an excellent food blog out of Australia. Seriously, I think I've liked every single thing I've made from there. They're just really solid, delicious recipes that are super straightforward without a lot of faff. The first is the salmon quiche recipe. Their original recipe called for crust. You can do homemade, store-bought, ready-made, doesn't matter. Butter, a leek, 2 garlic cloves, 8 to 10 asparagus spears, 5 eggs, 1.5 cups of heavy cream, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, 2 tablespoons of fresh dill, 200 grams of smoked salmon, and about 75 grams of Gruyere cheese. Prepare your crust as required. I used a store-bought crust from Trader Joe's because I frankly cannot get myself to make homemade pie crust for like a weeknight. I might do it as like a special occasion type thing, but for like a weeknight meal, I'll just use ready-made pie crust. And really make sure, especially with the Trader Joe's pie crust, that you really let it come like it's in the freezer. You really need to bring it down to almost room temperature for it to actually work so that it doesn't break when you try to roll it out. So after you've prepared your crust, saute your leeks and garlic, then your asparagus stems, but don't cook the asparagus. You're cooking the leeks and garlic first. And then you add that to the quiche crust. Whisk together the eggs, cream, dill, salt, and pepper. And then add the smoked salmon on top of the leeks and asparagus. Top with cheese and then pour over the egg mixture. Bake for 40 minutes or until the center is set. So I made a lot of adjustments to this both in the ingredients and in the preparation. First, I didn't have leeks. I love leeks, I just didn't have any. So I used a yellow onion, which I sauteed with the garlic. I didn't have any asparagus because it's summer, not spring. So I used kale, which I chopped up finely and sauteed until wilted. I didn't have any Gruyere, so I used some honey goat cheese that needed to be used up. And I put the kale, onion, and garlic on the crust. I whisked together the cheese with the eggs and the cream. I didn't have any dill, but I did use some basil because, like I said before, I have basil coming out of my ears right now. And poured that on top of the kale and onion mixture. Then I added the smoked salmon. So quiche are a really great way to use up leftovers or little odds and ends that you have hanging around in the refrigerator. Really what you need is that base of the eggs and the cream to make it work. And also, of course, the crust, but you can always make a crustless quiche, but then that's just kind of a frittata, right? So they're great for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You can serve them cold, warm, room temperature, it doesn't really matter. So this was a delicious quiche. The filling was perfectly set. The ratios worked out well. The only thing that I would say was a little bit off for me was the goat cheese, but that was because I had a couple of big chunks in there that would have been better, like if I had integrated it better with the egg, just kind of maybe just whisked it a little bit more. All right, lastly, we have the ground beef nachos, which are actually the Ripper beef nachos from Recipe 10 Eats. You don't really need a recipe for nachos, but here we go. So for the beef, you're gonna have 1 tablespoon of olive oil, 2 garlic cloves, 1/2 an onion, and 1 pound of ground beef. We get our ground beef from Starwalker Farms, which comes with us in our bundle that we get through an online farmer's market called Rogue Produce. 2 tablespoons of tomato paste, 2 tablespoons of water. The nacho seasoning is, which you're gonna cook the beef in, is 1 teaspoon of onion powder, dried oregano, and salt, 2 teaspoons each of cumin and paprika, and 1/4 teaspoon of cayenne pepper. And then you're gonna have your corn chips, your grated cheese, and your homemade nacho cheese sauce. The homemade nacho cheese sauce is also from Recipe 10 Eats, and it's 8 ounces of shredded cheese. You really need to shred your own here because when you buy shredded cheese that's already shredded, it comes in a coating of cornstarch, and we don't want that because we're gonna be adding cornstarch. So 8 ounces of shredded cheese, 1 tablespoon of cornstarch, 1 can of evaporated milk, 2 tablespoons of chopped jalapeno peppers, a tablespoon of hot sauce, 1/2 teaspoon of onion powder, 1/2 teaspoon of garlic powder, and 1 teaspoon of salt. What you're going to do is you're actually just going to mix all that together on the stovetop in a pot until the cheese is melted into the evaporated milk and you have a sauce. So alternate the layers of chip, beef, shredded cheese, cheese sauce, making sure that the cheese gets covered so it doesn't develop a skin as it bakes, and bake for about 12 to 15 minutes. So a couple of adjustments that I had to make was I didn't have any tomato paste, so I didn't use it. I just used some tomato sauce and it worked out just fine. I added a whole entire jalapeno pepper instead of 2 tablespoons and left out the hot sauce because I wasn't just gonna cut up part of a jalapeno pepper and then just have some leftover jalapeno pepper to do what with. So we added chopped tomato, sour cream, avocado, homemade creamy avocado salsa verde, and then some homemade salsa roja that I had canned a week or so before. And these were really good. I do think that it was a little too much. The size of it was a little bit too much for us, for 2 adults and 2 small kids. Our kids actually really aren't into nachos. So we had a lot left over and it wasn't like the best leftovers. So I think if you're gonna be making these, make sure that you are feeding some kids who really like nachos or a group of adults who really like nachos. All right, so that wraps up our first episode of the new season. I hope that I can stick with it for a while and you can enjoy the podcast again. If you ever want to join me sometime to talk about what you're cooking for dinner, let me know at whatimcookingfordinner@gmail.com. All right, thanks.